Hey, amen. We appreciate the musicians and their many hours they put into that and the godly music they play. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Acts 17. Acts 17. Looking at the right music and holding to the right standards in music, Acts 17:11. And Joey, bowing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here once again. And Lord, we do confess to you tonight that we need your help and your discernment in a very subtle area, music. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide and teach us tonight. Lord, may we be better equipped to discern the right from the wrong music. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and did what? Search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Now, what we need in the area of music is the same diligence to come with a ready mind and then to search the scriptures, what it says. Verse 11 said, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. So they didn't come with a critical heart, they came with a ready mind to learn, but they just didn't come like people in the cults do. We were out yesterday and ran into the Jehovah's Witness, and of course, most of the time they won't take any literature. Their leaders don't want them to study other literature because they're afraid that they'll learn the truth. And so they tell them don't accept anything. So they came with a ready mind, but they searched it out. Verse 11, search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And that's what we need to do in the matter of music. Search it out. That'll produce results. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks and of men, not a few. So they came with ready hearts, then they searched it out, and so they believed. They took a stand. And then in verse 13, whenever that happens, you can mark it down, you're going to be persecuted. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Listen, if you're going to stand anywhere, you're going to receive persecution. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And it will be no different in the area of music. Now, last week, I told you, it finally hit me. And in the middle of the week, I told my wife, I said, you know, it's finally dawning on me why there is such a variation in music. You know, you can't any longer just see if a church preaches out of the King James Bible. You can go to a church that uses the King James Bible, and you'll find a rock band up on the platform, or the stage, I should call it. There's one like that in Grand Rapids, Heritage Baptist Church. As far as I know, Brother Moore is still using the King James Bible, but he calls himself progressive. Oh, yeah. I call it liberal, is what I call it, and that's what it is. And that's a problem all over. And I'm hearing it from people that are out there looking for churches that the music is just wild in places. So, two questions now. What Bible do you use? And what kind of music do you play? So, Judges 21:25. Let's go there one more time. We looked at this last week. Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. It just finally hit me that there's no stand, and yet there is a clear stand to take. In Judges 21, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in what? His own eyes. And that's the way it is with music. What I'm finding is I ask questions, and people say, oh yeah, we don't use contemporary music, and yet they do. Brother Cloud was in the Philippines speaking and found the same thing. Churches, they were against contemporary music, and yet they were using it in their special music. So There is a standard, and we need to find it and use it. I find the same thing has happened in music that's happened with missionaries. Jeremy, when he was on a deputation trail, found out that some churches wouldn't even have you in if you, two things. Number one, if you're not from with a certain mission board, and number two, if you're not from a certain college. Some people just will not have you in. It's not that they know anything about you, it's just that you're not from that school or that mission board, and so they won't even listen to you. I know that many pastors out there are not really thoroughly questioning missionary candidates because we have a 4-page questionnaire for our missionaries, and when missionaries complain about that, I know right then we don't want them as a missionary. How can you even get to know someone in 4 pages? I mean, think about that. After answering 4 pages of questions, would you feel like you really knew someone? I mean, if you'd never met them before, I wouldn't think 4 pages of questions is too much. And actually, the 4th page is mostly blank. I mean, it allows them space to comment or what have you. So actually, it's more like 3. Missionary called my wife some time ago, and she told him, well, we sent out these questionnaires to missionaries, and he made the statement, well, if it's a short one, I'll fill it out. If it's one of those long ones, I won't. So I said, well, I'm not going to waste my time even sending it to him. You know, if he isn't willing to sit down and write down his doctrinal positions, I don't want to waste my time either. I'll tell you, it's important to know what someone believes when they're out there. So what I find that happening in independent Baptist churches is the same thing that happened in the Southern Baptist Convention. They got what they call their cooperative missions. And so most Southern Baptist churches, even though they could, is my understanding, if they wanted to, could pick out and support individual missionaries. Many of them do not. They just throw their money into the pot called cooperative missions. And by that, there's documented proof, they're supporting liberal, Christ-denying, blood-denying, ungodly professors in their seminaries. And that, if they just give to that cooperative missions, that's where some of their money is going. And, you know, we're kind of getting that way even in independent Baptist churches. Oh, the mission board says they're okay. Okay, I don't have to ask any questions. Or they went to a certain college. I don't even have to ask them any questions. I know what they believe. No, you don't. You don't know what they believe just because they were at a certain place. You don't know it at all. So I find the same thing has happened in music. We just trust someone else. We trust their judgment. Instead of being an Acts 17:11 Christian where we search it out ourselves. And that's what we need to do. Let's look at Ephesians 5:19 once again. I hope you're getting this verse memorized. Ephesians 5:19 Certainly, we need to check out people that are on the field preaching, and we certainly need to check out our music. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, what I find is that many of these contemporary type groups and classifications of music, no, they're not psalms and hymns. So what they say is, well, what I sing is spiritual songs. Well, we have looked at what is a spiritual song and what is not. Tina Turner, the rock star, herself says that rock music is naughty. That 2-4 beat that we've seen, that boogie walking the bass that we've seen, the break beat, those notes that are off the normally stressed beats. The world, I've given you a quote after quote in these weeks about even the world admits that is immoral music. Some of them, the rock people say it's 100% immorality, some say it's 99%, but they all say it's immoral music. So I'll not go through all those quotes again because we want to cover some new ground tonight. I do want to share with you what I found in one particular mission. It's called Faith Music Missions. And, you know, I don't have an axe to grind with Faith Music Missions. I know some people that go there to church. And I would say they're probably as conservative as you can find out there. It's like Majesty Music in the Carolinas there. They're fairly conservative, but you can't say, well, Majesty Music or Ron Hamilton says it's okay, so it's okay. I'm trying to get some clips. If you happen to know anyone that has some that would borrow them, that I could borrow, I'd appreciate that. I've read much about that in many of the Patch the Pirate tapes, there is the syncopation, the 2-4 beat. And so I'm trying to gather those things together. Now, I know it's hard for people to give me samples because you're afraid then that I'm going to pick on you. I know what you're thinking. But the fact is that in many tapes, there's good and bad. So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you listen to the good ones, okay? It's probably what you're going to find in any tape or CD that you buy. There's going to be good and there's going to be bad. So some of you have shared your music with me, and I appreciate that. It's like it is, you know, in any type of literature you have, there's good and bad, and you have to be discerning. In this day and age, it's getting easier and easier to just take music off from whatever you buy it on and put it on something good, and obviously that would be the best way. Then you wouldn't have to keep skipping over the bad songs. But anyway, Faith Music Missions, I want to share with you what I found on their website. It says, and I quote them, "Start off the year right with quality music from Faith Music Missions. Faith Music produces conservative, traditional, old-fashioned gospel music for the whole family." And this next phrase, I know what they mean, but it's dangerous. It says, "The music is tried and trusted around the nation." Don't ever place your faith in Faith Music Missions. Don't ever place your faith in, what was the one in the Carolinas? Majesty Music. Don't place your faith in Ron Hamilton or in anyone else out there. Be discerning. Be willing to look at the music and judge it. Be discerning. So, Faith Music Missions is a local church ministry. I appreciate that fact of it. Like I said, I know some people that go there, and I'm not trying to pick on them, but I'm trying to make a point tonight. They said this, I continue to quote, "Our mission is to practice the doctrine of replacement. It is simply not enough to stop listening to the world's music. We have to replace the bad with the good. Replace that old music with great music from our ministry." So they practice the doctrine of replacement. Get rid of that bad music and get some good music from us. Okay, now do you remember what rock music is? I'm going to ask Barry to prepare a clip 41. Once again, this is from Alan Ives, Evangelist Alan Ives. He's from Wildwood Baptist Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He has a good videotape out on how to tell the right kind of music. And this is just a clip. I want to remind you of some things. Number 41.
Let me give you what the backbeat is. We add it to the boogie-woogie, it just spits. And it's an accent on beat 2 and beat 4. That's what Chuck Berry said, rock and roll guitarist. He said, "I dig that rock and roll music. It's got a backbeat. You can't lose it." And so rock music always is accent 2 and 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. So forth. That's the opposite of a march. A march goes 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. And that makes music march. The backbeat makes music into rock and roll. Chuck Berry said so, and that's the truth. Accent on beat 2 and 4. Snare drummer played boom, bop, boom, bop, bop, boom, bop, bop, all the way through.
Okay. Now, I looked up the lyrics to that song that Chuck Berry sang those years ago. It's called Rock and Roll Music, and I quote, "Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music, any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat. You can't lose it. Any old time you use it, it's got to be rock and roll music if you want to dance with me. So he says it's got a backbeat you can't lose. Any old time you use it, it's got to be rock and roll music. So Chuck Berry said, anytime you use that backbeat, it's rock and roll music. Now let's go over just a few things here. Just from Wikipedia, and I quote them, the downbeat is the first measure in music. So remember we talked about 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And you notice the hymns, our instrumentalists will emphasize that. They will play harder on 1, lighter on 2. They will play harder on 3, probably not quite as hard as on beat 1. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Rock music, as we've seen, goes 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. It gets that sideways motion. Okay, I continue to quote. In more general use, the downbeat refers to all odd beats. So you want to emphasize 1 and 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? That's in 4-4 timing. So I go on to quote, in modern music, using common 4-4 time, emphasis is rarely put on the downbeat or the first beat. Instead, it's placed on the backbeat. So from Wikipedia, they say in modern music rarely emphasizes 1 and 3. It emphasizes 2 and 4. Almost any music you'll hear in the grocery store or anywhere you go will have a 2-4 beat. Almost anything. Even Wikipedia will say that it says that. That it's rare in modern music to find anything that emphasizes beats 1 and 3. Okay, let's look at or listen to clip 36. This is one of those rare songs. This one is an old one from Tennessee Temple. I sing the mighty power of God, and it'll emphasize beats 1 and 3, the proper beats. So let's listen to a little bit of that 36. Notice how they emphasize when I go down.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad.
So they're emphasizing the right beat. There's no swing to that song because they're emphasizing 1 and 3, and that's the way it ought to be. And then the backbeat we've talked about. The backbeat is any of the even beats in music, the 2 and the 4. Now listen to this, also from Wikipedia. In 4-4 time, the backbeats are the 2nd and the 4th beats. The release on beats 2 and 4 sets the mood for the groove and gives the song a danceable feel. There are times when you hear music, it moves. You know it swings. And much of the time, it's because they're emphasizing beats 2 and 4. And even the world says, when you emphasize beats 2 and 4, it gives the song a danceable feel. And what boggles my mind is why the world can see that, but Christians can't. If that song makes you want to move your body, even the world recognizes that is a dance rhythm, a dance tune. It goes on to say it's a form of syncopation, and it says this style is one of the defining characteristics of rock and roll, and listen to this, and is used in virtually all contemporary music. And that's true of so-called Christian music. That 2-4 beat is there about in everything you'll hear. Everything. So they say beat 2 and 4 gives it a danceable feel. So I'm trying to get you to see tonight, we can't just put our trust in Faith Music Missions. And this is not pick on Faith Music Missions night, but I'm just trying to say that even ministries that try to be conservative, you have to show still discernment. You have to be discerning. This clip 100 is sung by the Epley family. Faith Music Missions produced this tape. Clip 100, and I want you to, I'm going to see if I can get in time with it. Some of these songs, so many clips have gone through my mind that it's hard for me to remember each one, and I'll try to get in time with it. Now, remember, when my hand goes over the microphone and when it goes up, those are rock beats. So I'll go down. When I go over the microphone, if you're hearing an emphasis on a beat, that's the wrong emphasis. And when I go up, so if you hear that beat here or there, it's the wrong beat. So number 100, we'll see if we can get in time.
I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing all my joy with you.
Okay, did you see it? Oh, okay, just a second. These beats, you got to get out of time, okay.
I have good news to bring, and that is
dance,
why
dance.
I sing all my joy with you. I'll share. I'm going to take a trip in the good old gospel
tree. Okay. It was more, it's extra clear at the very beginning. It's the definite 2-4 beat. That tape was produced by Faith Music Missions. That has a definite 2-4 syncopation. And you could dance to that song, the way they've sung that. So, let me remind you what syncopation is. I know for those of you who haven't played an instrument, you may say, these terms are new to me. Well, we need to learn them. Syncopation, I quote Wikipedia again, it's stressing of a normally unstressed beat. For example, in 4-4 time, the first and the third beats are normally stressed. Remember we said, if instead the second and the fourth beats are stressed, and the first and third unstressed, the rhythm is syncopated. Okay? It says the stress can also shift by less than a whole beat, so it falls on an offbeat. So what? Sometimes, all kinds of this gospel music. If it's not clearly emphasizing on 2 and 4, it's off the beats. It's not on 1, 2, 3, or 4. It's in between them. We're going to listen to some of those tonight. Now, once again, they say... syncopation, it says playing a note ever so slightly before or after a beat is another form of syncopation because it produces an unexpected accent. What that does is it gets the body to swing. It's falling on something unexpected. It's not falling right on the notes. Once again, they say it's a fundamental constant presence in such styles as ragtime and jazz. In the form of a backbeat, syncopation is used in virtually all contemporary music, and that's true. Now, can you fully trust Faith Music Missions? No, that song that we just played, and there are many others that could be played, there is a 2-4 emphasized. That is syncopation. Even the world says that is a dance form. There is a standard. What I'm trying to get you to see is, people look at music like dress. Sometimes people say, I just can't see it. It all seems so gray to me. Well, if you're willing to study it, it's not. You know, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there's all kinds of lost people that say, oh, eternity is just such a gray area. How can you ever know for sure you're saved? Well, by study. And seeing what God says. And the music, it's no different. If music seems like a gray area to us and we just can't find any definite lines to draw, the problem is we're not willing to study it out. Because as we've seen here, if the beat is on 2 and 4, even the world says that is a rock beat, even if it's a soft. If it's soft, it's just soft rock. If it's hard, it's hard rock. It's as simple as that. Okay. Another form of syncopation is ragtime, and I guess the first time I heard this We were up at a church called North Star Baptist Church in Michigan, Upper Michigan, and there was a group there from Hiles Anderson College that night, and whoa, was that guy all over that piano, not on any beats, but, I mean, he was just going to town, and I thought, wow. And since then, I have heard that replicated, I don't know how many times, and I wish I could find the exact year, because the old tapes, I listened to some preparing for this, the old tapes from Hiles Anderson College did not have that beat in there, that syncopation. But they've traveled from Hiles, a Grace Baptist College up in Gaylord. Is when you listen to their music, it's very, very strongly syncopated. And I have some of that I'll be sharing with you. I'm trying to gather pieces from different colleges to share with you and show you just what's out there. You know what? Young men are prepared in these colleges, and how they are taught in those colleges is exactly what they're going to bring into the churches. And I don't like what I'm seeing when it comes to music at all. So the next form I want to share with you is called ragtime. Ragtime. And remember, we've talked about here, and once again, I'm quoting Wikipedia. Ragtime is a dance form. You see, there's no gray area. If it's ragtime, it's a dance tune. Plain and simple. If you can see that it's ragtime, it's not spiritual music. Remember Ephesians 5:19? All these people like to classify this, you know, in spiritual music. And when even the world says, if it's got this beat, it's rock. If it's ragtime, it's a dance tune. Ragtime is written in 2-4 or 4-4. It utilizes a walking bass. Remember we talked about that? The bass, you can hear the bass in the background, goes up and then down and up and down. Sometimes staccato and sometimes legato. Staccato are short, quick notes, and legato are smooth notes. As Brother Ives shared with us, the boogie is the walking bass, 8 to the bar. It's up and down, up and down. It can be syncopated, it can be off the beat, or it can be just following the beat, which is going right up and down, up and down, up and down. And it makes it want to dance. In ragtime, it utilizes a walking bass. The bass note is played legato on the first and third beat. So in the music we're going to listen to in just a moment, I want you to pay attention. You'll hear the bass on the first and third beats, and it won't be syncopated. It'll just be kind of smooth flowing. But then it's ragtime, then the staccato chord is played on the 2 and 4 beats. What we'll find in ragtime is that it's the high notes are playing the syncopation. It says ragtime music is syncopated with the melodic notes landing largely on the off beats. Now, staccato, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, means to cut short or apart in performing. Disconnected. So a staccato note is something cut short. It's quick. I want you to listen in these clips for quick notes, short notes, quick, off the beat, just kind of played all over. That is ragtime. And the world says that is a dance tune. Okay? Once again, this is a clip from Faith Music Missions. This is 107. It's from the Marion Avenue Boys. From my understanding, one of the sons is Larry Brown's son. You know, he's got a sermon out called Blow the Whistle on the Wolf. Tonight I'm blowing the whistle on him, okay? The music, his boy is singing and two other boys with him. Clip 107. Now, what I want you to listen to, first of all, this is called Saved. Listen to the high notes first. Listen to those high notes if they're staccato, if they're short and quick and off the beat. And I'm going to see if I can get in beat with this. Okay, 107. Thank you. hear those high notes? They're not on beat.
Soon you'll see the light of...
Okay. Did you catch that? They're high, they're short. They're not on the beat, they're off the beat. Just rapid succession. Off beat. The world says that is ragtime. The world says that is a dance tune. Why is Faith Music Missions producing that? The world says that's ragtime. The world says that's a dance tune. Now, remember I told you that in ragtime, the high notes are going to be staccato. They're short, quick notes off the beats, all over the place. And the bass will be that walking bass, played legato, not necessarily quick beats on the bass, but just smooth up and down. So I want to play that 107 once again, and this time try to pick out the low notes, the bass, and see how it's walking. Okay. Hear that bass? Hear it walk? That is ragtime. That is a dance. It fits the definition of ragtime perfectly. That's a dance tune. You could dance to that. And yet, that is a Christian trio, the Marion Avenue Boys. So I wish I had my whistle here tonight. Brother Larry Brown just loved to blow that whistle in that message that he gave. I just love to blow the whistle tonight on that group, all right? That is ragtime. The world says that is not a gray area song. It's clearly ragtime. That is a dance tune. The world says it's a dance tune. So, well, we give it all kinds of names. They like to call that stuff Southern Gospel. Everything fits in that category. Okay, let's play another one. Same group, Marion Avenue Boys, number 108. Now, I want you to notice, listen for those high staccato notes, those high notes that are quick and short, and especially on the chorus here. And, okay, 108.
I'm glad Jesus came, glory to his name, oh what a friend is he. He so freely gave his own life to save from bonds of sin set free. Yeah. I've got that old tie lives in my heart, way down inside. I've got that new kind of feeling in my heart.
On 2 and 4 in that background, it's ragtime. It's staccato, quick, syncopated notes. And what I find is that sound is permeating independent Baptist churches. And sometimes it's a very subtle ragtime. And once again, in that song, the bass is going up and down. They're walking the bass. The piano player is walking the bass. And on 2 and 4, he's getting some quick staccato notes, high notes. That is a soft ragtime right there. The world says it's a dance beat. Okay, number 109. Clip. What's the same group? Okay, let's start that over again. And this song, to start right out, and this is what I'm finding too, these piano players, wherever they're coming from, wherever they're being trained, are starting right out with that 2-4 beat to give the song a swing before it even starts. Now, I want you to notice, if I can get in time quick enough, this song especially starts with a strong 2-4 right from the start. Okay? So, 109.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And they lit a light from heaven, filled my soul.
That's what gets that dance feel. Walking at
it. It bathed my heart in love.
I can just see the Marion Avenue Boys dancing up there.
And And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus.
Okay. It just gives it that feel. That's classic what they would call Southern gospel. But the fact of the matter is that song started out extremely clear. You will never hear our piano players do that, what that piano player just did. That piano player started out emphasizing the second and the fourth beat right off the start. The world says that is a rock beat. Why can't Christians admit it? I don't know. West Coast Baptist College, I'll be having some clips of them in the days ahead, but I want to share with you something on their site that they say. It says, and I quote, "Students at West Coast Baptist College will be taught the importance of appreciating and growing spiritually through means of godly music. Students will also be taught that worldly music and Christian rock music are destructive to their maturing as a Christian. West Coast Baptist College believes in the importance of following the scriptural admonitions regarding music found in Ephesians 5. Therefore, our emphasis revolves around psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The choir at Lancaster Baptist Church, as well as all musical groups and instrumentalists, adhere to the conservative music standards, emphasizing a distinct melody and godly music theory." So far, so good. But then they say this: "Students will not, however, be taught to have a judgmental spirit of other ministries with slight variations in music style from that which is taught at West Coast Baptist College. They will be taught that a critical and judgmental spirit is as grievous to the Lord as perhaps an unintentional variation in music style by a like-minded fundamental church." You know, actually, the music I've listened to from West Coast so far is more conservative than many colleges. So the statement that they have on their website right there just throws everything they're teaching out the window. When they say, "Students will not, however, be taught to have a judgmental spirit of other ministries with slight variations in music style from that which is taught at West Coast." What are they saying? They're saying, okay, we teach you psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We teach you to have a distinct melody and godly music theory. But if your home church doesn't happen to use that, don't have a critical spirit. Or when you graduate from here, and the people of your area don't necessarily follow that, don't you have a judgmental spirit? Because if you have a judgmental spirit in regard to music, then you're grieving the Lord just as much as they are for their unintentional. You know what they're doing? They're justifying the sinner. And they're throwing cold water on these young men who ought to be out there saying there is a standard. There is a standard. It's not great. Now they're saying when you're here, you've got to abide by our rules. But if wherever else you are, if there's slight variations, and you dare judge that slight variation as being wrong, you're grieving the Lord as much as they're unintentional. Who says it's unintentional? I'll tell you something. It's intentional because the flesh loves sin. The flesh loves to indulge in sin. When a preacher or a church uses that ragtime, it's not unintentional. It's because their flesh loves it and they're not willing to judge it. And so they're telling their young preacher boys, "We're teaching you godly music theory. We're teaching you distinct melodies. We're teaching you psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But don't you dare go out there and judge someone else that varies from our stand." Well, you know what? If it's just your stand, that's all you can do is say, you know, well, go out there and do the best you can. But if it's God's stand, then stand on it. Having done all, stand. Music is not the gray area. You know why that statement is given? I'll tell you why. Because big colleges draw from many churches' students. That statement is given because music right now is getting so bad in Baptist churches that if those students were actually taught godly music theory and stuck by it, they'd cause havoc. They'd turn the world upside down. What a sad thing. What a sad thing to teach students the right way and then tell them, well, those people out there who are doing it a little different are doing it unintentionally. How do you know it's unintentional? It's not unintentional. The bottom line to that is no standard. No standard. And that's what'll happen. That's exactly what'll happen. So all that teaching and training is in vain when you teach them that. It's making them the culprit. I don't know if you got the full impact of that statement. But when they tell the students, you're grieving God because you're judging someone's unintentional style of music, it makes them out to be the bad guys. They're calling good evil and evil good. Not good. That's what I say. Not good. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know one thing about being little? You don't have to impress anyone. If you see something's wrong, say it's wrong. And I'm going to tell you the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. It says in verse 6, know ye not that a what? Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. They're telling these students, now, when you go out there, if someone has a slight variation, don't you dare judge them. Well, is there a standard or not? If it's God's standard, it should be judged according to God's standards. We come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter how we come measure up to each other. It's God. He's the one that said psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, let me ask you this. Think now. How does bad music get into independent Baptist churches? How does it get in? Is it a church like this and one day, Noah and the three pigs comes along and says, hey, preacher, we want to perform there tonight. Oh, okay, come on in. I mean, they're used to performing up on the third floor of the ark and rocking, you know, the day away. And is that how independent Baptist churches fall? No. I could give you documentation after documentation. They say time and time again, how it falls is the special music. They start using canned music, taped music, over and over and over and over. Churches will testify, we got where we're at in music. It started with taped music with the syncopation in it. The 2/4 beat. None of the old church organists or church pianists put that beat in there. None of them. But in 1980, I visited the church in which I grew up after getting out of Bible college. And a man sang a special song there that day. I don't know. I think it was Sunday morning. Tape music, syncopated. And I couldn't even look at him. I felt like just getting up and walking out. And I looked down. And my wife was looking at him, and the singer kept looking at me. I don't know, because maybe I was back in town. And while he was singing, he just kept looking. And I would not look at him, and he got choked up. Well, he should have, because he was singing a bad thing. And that's how it gets in. Rock gets into the church by slight variation after slight variation after slight variation. Which just reminds me, I was preparing an illustration for you and I didn't finish it. We were traveling in the car this weekend. We had to attend a funeral in another city, and I said to the family, I threw out some figures. I said, what would you be off in a mile, if you're just 1 degree off, get your protractor out and figure that out, okay. 1 mile, 1 degree. Well, if a mile is 5,280 feet, and you are 1 degree off, you would be, I guess what we are doing is figuring on 45 degrees. So 1 degree would be a 45th of 5,280. Well, I hope I'm saying this right, because I have teachers here tonight. They'll probably do me in here later, but I don't know what a 45th of a mile is, but if I did that right, but just 1 degree off, at the end of a mile, you're a long ways off. And then we talked about the moon, how far it is to the moon. If you took off for the moon and were just 1 degree off, I mean, just a slight variation from correct, you know what? You'd miss the moon. By the time you got there, you'd miss. You know what? And this is not West Coast Baptist College picking on night either, but I'm just saying, these statements are being made. Trust us for music. I can't. I see the standard, and they're not measuring up. I'm not saying that all their music is bad from Faith Music Mission. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying this. You better judge it. You better judge it according to the standard. Even the world says 2-4. The 2-4 beat is rock. Even the world has a clear, definite definition of ragtime, and they are definitely recording ragtime music there. No question about it. Now, and for West Coast to say that to their students, if someone varies from us a little, listen, that is the problem in Baptist churches. They varied a little this year, and a little the next year, and a little the next year, and what do we have? We have the Heritage Baptist churches in Grand Rapids with a full rock band. Far as I know, still using the King James Bible. Well, what a tragedy. The rock music. And all the little Rick Warren idiosyncrasies like Hawaiian shirts. Hey, if I want to wear an Hawaiian shirt, which I don't have, I'm not going to wear it to church. I'm not a little Rick Warrenite. I'm not one of his puppets. The Bible says here, verse 6, "No, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Slight variations. Let's look at clip 16. This is "Blessed Be the Name," played correctly. This is played by Ken Van Leer. We've listened to many of his clips. He was very gracious to do these. But number 16. Notice the emphasis. One. Okay. Definite, distinct 1 and 3. That's a hymn. 1 and 3 beat propels you straight forward. 2 and 4 gets you going sideways. Okay? Now he's going to add a little syncopation. He's going to put a little offbeat to it. Notice just the slight variation how the music changes. Number 17. Is that 2? See it? Clear 2 and 4. That is syncopation. The world says that is the rock beat. You may say, oh, that wasn't rock music. Even the world admits it is. What that is soft rock. But it's rock. Even the world says that's an immoral rhythm, an immoral beat. Okay? Now, after just hearing that, let's hear another one, clip 100. This is, once again, by the Epley family. It's another recording from Faith Music Missions. Now, just stop and think what we just heard. That is rock music. Even the world admits it is, because it has a 2-4 beat. Okay, now let's listen from this from Faith Music Missions, Epley's number 100.
I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing all my joys with you.
I'm not sure I was exactly in time on that, but you could hear that piano right at the end. That side beat, that 2-4 beat. Listen, if clip 17 was rock, blessed be the name, that is, the Epleys are not even singing soft rock. That's a little more. That's a little worse. Okay, let's look at 104, clip 104. This is the Marion Avenue Boys.
I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul. For I knew my Lord had control. I knew I was walking in the light.
Okay, think about that compared to Blessed Be the Name. If Blessed Be the Name was soft rock, you could not even classify that as soft rock. It's something higher than that. It's beat. I have some by colleges too, but I think I'm going to save those for, I try to get all those in one time. Let's hit just one from a camp meeting up north, the Northwoods camp meeting. 114, clip 114.
Feet were growing weary as he journeyed on his way. So he rested at a wellside, a comfort in the heat of day. There he waited for a woman.
That's the 2-4 beat right there. That the world says that is a rock beat. Okay. There's a clear stand. Listen to the contemporary crowd here. Because it's, if I'm the transgressor, West Coast Baptist College teaches its students, if you go out there and judge a slight variation from here, you're really the culprit. Because they're doing it unintentionally, and you're going out there with a critical spirit. And you, basically, you're grieving the Lord more than they are, because what they're doing is unintentional. I maintain what they are doing is not unintentional. What they're doing is they're making excuses for the flesh. It feels good. You know, I call anything I want to, but even the world admits those beats are immoral. Now, this is what's going to happen. What they're using is the same line of thinking that the world says, and it's like this. The Christian rock crowd throws back at us, "Hey man, who are you to judge my music? It's a little different from yours, but who are you to judge me?" That's what they throw back right now. Listen to this. This is a quote from Steve Lawhead. He says this, I quote, "These men and others like them who set themselves up as authorities, as experts in the eyes of many trusting souls, do great violence to the work of countless numbers of their brothers and sisters who are actively trying to do God's will, using rock to speak to a dying world. In the end, they do violence to God's work too." You know what? That is the exact statement that West Coast Baptist College is making. Only West Coast does it a little softer. And that man just brings it out. He just brings it out. Those of you who are setting yourself up as authorities. I am not setting myself up as the authority. The quotes that I am getting who defines rock music are from the world. They're the ones that admit this is rock, this is ragtime, a dance form. So if you dare question their music, it's not them that's the problem, it's you. You're the critic. You're the sinner. And I feel bad that West Coast has fallen into that trap. Here's another one from Dan and Steve Peters. Could it be that the one who makes all things new in Revelation 21:5 is also interested in new music? We think so. And yet many Christians discriminate against the new and unfamiliar. It's sort of reverse snobism, which sometimes allows mediocrity under the guise of spirituality, while superficially rejecting even the best contemporary artist works. That's the same thing that West Coast is saying, only in different words. Who are you snobs to look down on us? Because our music, you know, has a little beat, a little boogie-woogie to it. You know, who are you to question us? It's just, it's a little different than you. But down south, man, we're used to being a little more lively than you guys up north. You know what? You know where that's traced from down south? Rhythm and blues to Africa. Why do we send missionaries to Africa? Because they need to be saved. And you know what? When your culture is ungodly, the music is always ungodly. They brought that rhythm loose, and you don't believe me, you just study it. This is not a gray area. The Negro spirituals are not spiritual. When they sing those songs and it makes you feel you want to boogie, even if you don't know what boogieing is, and I guess I don't know what the boogie is either. But if you want to move, that is not spiritual music. Even the world, Tina Turner, says it's naughty music. Well, I'll tell you, we're in bad shape if we are not even willing to admit what Tina Turner will admit. Well, that's what they're teaching. There's so much here. And I don't want to hold you too long, but Thomas Dorsey, and see, a lot of this, when you get down south, this is called gospel music. It's not called rock. It's not called boogie. It's called gospel music. It's got that 2-4 beat. It's got that ragtime piano. But down south, we don't call it rock music. We call it gospel. Hell yeah, it moves. You northerners are slow and stuffy, and you're kind of a boring bunch up north. But down south, we got gospel music. No, down south, you've got rock. You've got boogie. You've got that syncopation. And that is not spiritual music. Thomas Dorsey is called the father of gospel music. He's called the beginner of gospel music. He was the son of a minister. And guess what? He that walketh with wise men shall be what? Wise, but a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. Thomas Dorsey, the father of gospel music, the son of a minister, as a young man accompanied some of the most famous blues singers of all time. And you study those rhythm and blues singers. It's that same beat, the same beat. It goes on, I continue to quote, his penchant for bouncy tunes and bawdy lyrics. Bouncy tunes. Oh, yeah. Down south, we move. You know, down south, we move with our music. Oh, yeah, you do. And that shows it's not spiritual music. And it says, Dorsey began to write religious music, abandoning his brash lyrics, but not the jazz rhythms and blues flavor and rhythmic style. Listen, this is not being written by a Christian. It's being written by the world. Thomas Dorsey is the father of that gospel music. And his background was following the fools of this world, those singing the worldly barroom tunes. And even the world says he never left his jazz rhythms. He brought them along with him. And listen to this. This is... Once again, this is not being quoted. This is not being written by some Christian. It says, naturally, the old guard conservatives consider this blending of the sacred spirituals and hymns and the secular blues and jazz as the devil's music and shunned it. West Coast Baptist College, don't you realize why we're where we are? Because little slight variation after slight variation got us here. Thomas Dorsey. And the conservatives back then considered that devil's music. You get that moving sound in it. That's, you're trying to mix the devil with God. That's the devil's music. And they shunned it. They said by its actions, the church declared Dorsey's brand of gospel music unworthy of a hearing within the sanctuaries of the day. How did we ever get where we're at? Just a little at a time. A little at a time. We're so much like the abortion crowd, it's sickening. What do they call themselves? We are in favor of pro-murder. We're in favor of pro-murder. We love to chop up babies. We love to chop up babies. Is that what they say? No. They say, we're pro-choice. The American dream is liberty. We're pro-choice. Oh, you know, because the other crowd said, well, we're pro-life. We're pro-choice. Such a lofty name. Such a name and talking about freedom. Well, I tell you, these deceived people, they're much like Westcott and Hort, who came along and deceived the majority, every preacher of the gospel who is using anything but the King James Bible in English tonight is following Westcott and Hort. Unbelievers denied many of the major Bible doctrines. They're following them. How could you get preachers of the gospel in Baptist churches using the NIV and a whole bunch of others to ever go that far? You know how you got them there? Little by little. West Coast Baptist College, it happened little by little. Just a little varying here and a little varying there. And here's where we are, a long ways off course. If you don't stand up for what's right, listen, find the standard and take a stand. And in music, there is. It's not the gray area that people think it is. And so when in the South, when they got that little boogie to it and they want to call it gospel, people are, I didn't know that was religious music. I thought it sounded a little like you could dance to it, but I'm sorry. I didn't know that was gospel. Well, if it's gospel, that's got to be good. Gospel means good news. Oh, I'm sorry. I know it varies a little from our music, but I apologize. I didn't know that was gospel music. Please forgive me. Go ahead and sing it. That is dumb. That is dumb. Look at the history of the man who started gospel music. He was following fools, and that's what he became. And you know what? I quote him once again. He said this, Thomas Dorsey, when I realized how hard some folks were fighting against the gospel music idea, I was determined to carry the banner. You know what he was saying? When he realized how many people were fighting what he was doing, he determined all the harder to follow it through, and he did. You know what that's called? It starts with an R, and it's called rebellion. Well, there's so much more, so much. There really is a standard. There really is a standard. And for too long, we've just listened to others. Now, I'm not picking on Faith Music Missions, but you can't listen to them. They're saying, come to me. We only play traditional, conservative music. If I can find that quote again. It says, Faith Music produces conservative, traditional, old-fashioned gospel music. Well, you just saw the definition of gospel music, where it comes from. For the whole family, the music is tried and trusted around the nation. Well, I'm telling you, you better use discernment when buying tapes from Faith Music Missions or anyone else. I'm just trying to show you, I'm not trying to pick on West Coast Baptist College, but I'm trying to show you they are making the same mistake that's been made down through the centuries. Here's the stand that we take, but those who vary from it, we know it's only unintentional because they're like-minded brethren. Man, they use the King James Bible. Man, they like us. Man, they're sending students to our college. Don't make waves. Man, if you go back home and upset your home pastor, why, he'll quit sending kids to our college. That's gonna disrupt our building plans. Don't you realize our master plan? It's right on our website. Don't you realize all the wonderful buildings we have planned for our campus? You're going to spoil it all if you go back home. If you're a stickler for what right music is, you're going to spoil it all. You're going to ruin our plans. Our dreams are going to crumble like Jimmy Baker's amusement park did. Fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Oh my. There's a stand. Here's a stand. It's not a gray area if you want to know. If you want to know right from wrong, it's not gray. There's clear, distinct definitions of music. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the great patience of the folks tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, we need to learn more about music. It's too important to stick our heads in the sand. It's too important, Lord, to believe someone else's names that they put on music, that it makes it okay. Lord, help us. Lord, even conservative ministries have varied already, actually more than a degree, several degrees. Really, Lord, it's not soft rock they're putting out. We listen to soft rock. Really, theirs is even harder than the soft rock. Lord, help us. Help us not to put our heads in the sand. Lord, help us to realize the control of music. May the Holy Spirit have his way now in Jesus' name. Amen.